When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
It's unbelievable. But yes, Air, the Oreo cookie. Boy, I haven't had an Oreo cookie in a long time. You know what I did the other day? Because I was feeling frisky. I took two chocolate chip cookies and I took some vanilla ice cream and I made my own ice cream sandwich, which was so delicious. I think I was a little bit light on the actual ice cream part of it. I could have went a little bit more, just a little bit more. But I wanted to make sure that I can, you know, fit it down my mouth. So I had to make sure that it wasn't, I had to make sure it could get down the throat. That's what I was looking for there with the ice cream sandwich. It was quite delicious though. It had the perfect amount of chocolate chips in the cookie. And the vanilla ice cream to me, I know it's for some people, because you wouldn't go chocolate ice cream with a chocolate chip ice cream sandwich. Now, I will go chocolate ice cream with a flying saucer. Now, if you're a Long Island person, Carvel, you know what you know with which I'm talking. This is for Bob in Rhode Island and Mrs. Steve Summers. You already know with which I'm talking, with the ice cream sandwich, with the Metropolitans and the Knickerbockers and the Jets and the Giants already. What is it? With the Captain Midnight, with the 1202, with the Bob in Rhode Island, doesn't he misses Summers? He thinks Loogie references himself too much in the third person. What is it already? Nobody cares with which he's talking, with the Sidney Sweeney. Tommy Lou Gower, back in the day when he was single, would do things over the covers that many do under the covers, perhaps. But I wanted to make sure that I can, you know, fit it down my mouth.
Perhaps in the, well, hold on, in the back seat or the front, wait, what is it already with the Captain Midnight, with the under the covers, over the covers, a little schmooze, perhaps too much schmoozing in the back seat, too much schmoozing in the front seat, with the Paulie Rosenberg here on WFAN. This is for you, Bob in Rhode Island, who misses Steve Summers, who wishes Steve Summers was still on the air reading with the monologues already. What is it? What does this Loogie actually bring to the table? Nothing. He refers to himself in the third person. He can't put two sentences together with the screaming already. What does he think this is, New York, where we all scream? He shouldn't be screaming. He should pretend he's doing radio in Paducah, Kentucky with everybody who don't scream there, or perhaps in Green Bay, Wisconsin, where everybody is very nice, very positive, very cordial. What is it already for Bob in Rhode Island? What? You're about to talk.
Is Paducah in Rhode Island?
No. Kentucky. I said Paducah, Kentucky.
Oh.
What do you mean, oh? What does oh mean? You interrupt and then you get it wrong and you say oh? And everybody, now here, why are you being mean to Paulie? This is what happens. Nobody calls up and says I'm a jerk or says that I'm mean to you when you're not here. I think it's just your energy, your aura, Paulie. There's something that you bring to the table. Well,
they can't feel my energy.
Yes, they can.
I mean, they can feel it through the radio because they can
It penetrates
hear.
The radio.
They can hear how mean you are.
No,
but
I don't think I'm mean. I think I'm fair, and I think I'm honest. And by the way, Cosmic Brownies, yay or nay tonight?
No, I was waiting for tomorrow.
Okay. And by the way, if you're just tuning in, according to my weather people, Paul Rosenberg, he believes because of the not only rain tomorrow, the heavy rain tomorrow, heavy, cats and dogs, it'll be raining. He believes, Paul, that the game, the Yankee game, will get canceled, postponed, most likely doubleheader the next day, but we're speculating on that. And he thinks it'll happen early afternoon. So 2, 3, 4 o'clock before most likely anybody heads out to the ballpark.
I would agree with that. And fun note
Well, what about, do you mean you would agree with that? You're the one that said it, so you agree with yourself.
And fun note about what you just said, it can actually not rain cats and dogs.
I'm sorry.
That is just a saying.
Yeah. I'm sorry you're here. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. As far as the Yankees at the trade deadline, if I'm Brian Cashman, I would push all my chips in the middle for Shea Langeliers. We're talking about one of the premier power-hitting catchers in all of baseball. Over the last 3.5 years, Langeliers has over 100 home runs. He would be the perfect addition at catcher for the Yankees. It sounds like, by all accounts, that Langeliers is going to be available. The Athletics are obviously out of it. They're a team that could be looking to move on, acquire a bunch of pieces for Langeliers, who's a very, 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 very good player and would be a massive upgrade for the Yankees at the catcher position. But this, to me, would be a big splash. This is the type of thing that you put all your chips in the middle for. Schoolboy, I think, is a mistake. I think Mason Miller is unrealistic. But a guy like Shea Langeliers, a power-hitting catcher who hits for a high average, if you're Brian Cashman, if you're the Yankees, this is an all-in move. This is a push-your-chips-to-the-center type of acquisition to bring in a catcher that can hit the ball over the fence at a prolific pace. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's head out to Joe in Warren, New Jersey. What's up, Joe?
What's up, Tommy? Big fan, man. You make my ride homes a lot better.
Well, I appreciate that.
Tell you that much.
Thank you.
I think I just want to talk about the trade deadline like we've kind of been talking about and you've been talking about. I think in years past, I think going into the season, I thought like this is probably the most depth I've seen the Yankees have between, you know, the starting pitchers. And then even you can talk about the infield with constantly going back and forth with Caballero and Volpe and then Jazz at second, and then back and forth between Ben Rice and Goldschmidt, and then McMahon at third, I think.
And if you also count George Lombard in that depth, because he could be up here tomorrow if the Yankees wanted to, or they could, I think they won't trade him, but he, I think, is part of that depth, certainly of the future.
Yeah, I would definitely love to see that kid stay with us long term. I just would like to speak on you, like, short term, where do you think is best for us? And then even within the next couple of years. I love Caballero personally, but I think that shortstop's piece definitely needs to be like spoken about. And
I think it's a long-term home for Lombard. Maybe you get creative and you move him to third and you could keep Caballero long-term at shortstop and maybe even move Volpe to second. Like, there is a universe where all three guys are in the infield for the Yankees. But Lombard, unless he gets traded, and the only way you're really trading him, I think, is if Mason Miller becomes available, something like that. But Lombard needs a role or a position carved out for him. And whether it's shortstop, it could be second base too for him. But I think Volpe would probably serve better. But Volpe could be a utility guy. But I think Lombard, whether it's second, short, or even being moved over to third, that's where he'll land in all likelihood by next year. I mean, it's possible he could be up here by the end of the year and be a role if you don't get another infielder. He could be like a trade acquisition. But long term, I expect him to be around unless there's just a unbelievable player at the deadline that Lombard has to be a part of that package.
Yeah, I think this is probably the only time I could say, like, I feel like with the amount of pieces they have, like, are they finally going to move guys? Like, Spencer Jones has kind of been a guy that's been talked about for so long.
Starting to think they're going to move him.
A couple games in.
Starting to think they're going to move him.
And same with Dominguez. I mean, like, it's been up and down, and he's finally getting a lot more time now, but, like, are they finally going to make a splash and, like, get rid of the depth that they have? And even guys like Lewis Gill, I mean, like, we had him playing, he was wiped out, and now he's kind of becoming like a non-factor.
Yeah, he's got no role.
So it's like, make a decision on what we're going to do with our depth.
Yeah, bleep or get off the pot. This is, it's really where the rubber meets the road for Dominguez, even to a degree Spencer Jones, who showed he could certainly field at a high level at the big league, you know, scene, but he didn't prove he could hit at the level of the major leagues. Obviously, AAA, he's, you know, as far as the power numbers are huge. But I think a Jones, a Dominguez, a Luis Gil, those are the type of names that could be a part of a trade, maybe even a Volpe. But yeah, the Yankees have a couple of guys that are young that I think would be attractive to teams that are looking to sell off players. And if the Yankees are looking to make moves, which I'd imagine they are, I would be pretty stunned if those guys, or at least some of those guys, aren't on the move in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I would love to see them make a move. I mean, I love Arias. I mean, watching him play, even like the World Baseball Classic, I think he's just a guy that like we're not used to. You know, a guy who's going to consistently hang in there, 3-2 count, get on base when he can, get us walks. I mean, like we've just been built around home runs and our stadium being small and people complaining about that. But I would love to see us grab a guy who's going to consistently get on base.
Yeah, there's very few guys like a Luis Rise in baseball. I mean, the fact that it's really, and we saw it in the All-Star game, you see it on a nightly basis. I mean, strikeouts are just way too much. And Luis Rise is a rare player that just does not strike out at all. He puts the bat on ball. He hits for a very, very high average. He's won batting titles. And like you said, he is so different than every player basically on the Yankees. And that's why I think he would be a welcomed addition. I mean, he struck out 21 times last year, 29, 18. I mean, these are insane. I mean, guys strike out 200 times a year. This guy doesn't even strike out 30 times a year. Arise.
Yeah, and I think that's a guy that Yankee fans and just the Yankees organization would fall in love with. Someone who's consistently getting on. And, like, yep. When you have someone like Judge and these big bats, like, if that extra run helps so much. Just like Jazz's hit today. You got two guys that got on, and a three-run home run is a difference in the game there. Same with Caballero's hit. You know what I mean? Like, getting guys on base is what baseball's about.
Yep. And look, Arise, who's been in the postseason, not necessarily a ton. He's got 67 at-bats in the postseason. He's only hitting .224 in October, which is very far off his .318 career average. But I still, and again, there have been talks where he will not, Arise, move off of second base. I just think you're bringing in a guy who 18 strikeouts on the year for Arise, 21 last year, 29 the year before, 18 the year before, 11, 34, 4. This guy has never struck out more than 50 times in a season and is a career lifetime .318 hitter. He's got a 200 hit season under his belt in 24 and in 23. It's the type of player, yeah, you got it early on with LeMahieu. The Yankees tried to do it with Benintendi. It didn't work out. But that guy, that high average, gets on base, sets the table for the Judges and the Stantons. And look, I'm operating based on the fact that those guys are going to come back this year. I think Judge actually will be back before Stanton. That's kind of where I'm going with this lately. I think Aaron Judge will be in the lineup early September. And Stanton, at this point, your guess is as good as mine, but I don't think it'll be before early September. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Mark joins us from Newark here on After Hours. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Tommy. How you doing tonight?
Great. How you doing?
Amazing. I'm doing great. Also, just to follow up on what the previous caller was saying, the Yankees need a leadoff hitter. I'm saying the last two seasons, their leadoff hitting is atrocious. Mm-hmm. They need a guy that could set the tone. I would slot Arise straight into that leadoff spot, nowhere else. Don't move him. Then it sets up the Judges and the Rices and the Chisholms and the Bellingers and the Stantons. I feel like, honestly, every single hitter in their lineup right now is like one spot dislocated where they actually belong. It like literally shuffles the cards perfectly. What do you have to say about that, Tommy? You don't agree?
No, I do. And as far as leadoff spot, I mean, Grisham definitely hurt them, especially in October last year from that spot. I thought all year he was good. But then, like, late in the year, October is where his warts started to come out. And it was obvious that the Yankees did not have a leadoff guy, which is something we kind of had fun with it on Evan and Tiki last year, where we had that contest of who could predict the guy that would get the most ABs as the leadoff spot. And you're right, they've been searching for that. Now, the prototypical leadoff hitter doesn't exist like it used to, at least when I was growing up. But I think a guy like Arise profiles pretty close to what, maybe not with the speed, but with the high on-base percentage or at least the high average lack of strikeouts and his ability to set the table. And look, guys are going to be a little bit out of order now, too, because you don't have Stanton and you don't have Judge. I mean, you're talking about two guys in the middle of the order that, at least in the case of Stanton, has missed significant time. So once this line, and that's why I haven't been panicking at all, and that's why I've been preaching, you know, positivity with the Yankees, because I think the team that you see right now or have seen since mid-June is not going to be the team that you see at the end of the year. It's going to look a heck of a lot different.
100%. Now, one more thing, Tommy. Obviously, these names, Luis Gil and Dominguez and Spencer Jones,
yep,
they're very nice names to throw around, but teams are going to want players that have not shown any bit of success at the major league level. I'm saying this has been my long problem with Cashman, is that every single year come the trade deadline, there are always like two, three names that are being thrown around. This year it's the LeGrandes and Almer Rodriguez and all the other prospects.
Yep.
And it just never seems like these prospects are able to get the top chip. I don't know if it's Cashman's lack of aggression, but there is something wrong with that system. Also, with like the fact that Austin Wells and Volpe, the fact that Boone has to suffer with those players, and there's no organizational depth, like literally
none.
Nothing. and he just dried. He's hung to dry with these players, and then everybody's blaming Boone for being a bad manager. How in the world is that Aaron Boone's fault? That's the crazy part. When these callers call up the radio and they blame it on Aaron Boone, what's he supposed to do? Max Schumann, what's he supposed to do? I'm saying Ali Sanchez. These guys are quadruple A players at best. I don't know. It's just a lack of organization.
Yeah, listen, Ascara is tearing it up at AAA right now, but he showed at the major league level that he's not a major league player. And if he was any good, they would have had him out there playing, because Austin Wells is a zero right now and has been a zero all year at the dish. But to your point there, yeah, lack of depth there. The thing about the prospects through the years with the Yankees, now obviously Aaron Judge is his own entity, but it feels like sometimes they wait too long to trade a guy, or guys get overrated a little bit. It definitely, and maybe we're just so close to it and so involved with it here with the Yankees, perhaps it goes on with other organizations and we're just unaware of it. But you're right, there's just something about the system and the prospects that feels different than anywhere else where yeah, they either wait too long or they don't get the big chip or they don't take the big swing and they're not able to get those type of players because maybe we here overrate their minor league system and teams around the league don't view it the same way we do.
Mm-hmm, 100%. And just look at the Mets and look at the way they operate. Obviously, they're having a horrendous season. But for some reason, I just feel like their prospect pool is a little bigger than the Yankee prospect pool. And also, you got to give David Stearns a little bit of credit. Like, signing a Luis Torrens doesn't take a lot. Why can't Cashman sign major league quality players that could back up the position players? Like, I don't understand it. It doesn't take a lot to sign these caliber players. The fact that he's so adamant and confident in Wells and Volpe being the guys at their position when we've seen nothing but failure from both of them drives me crazy. It's these little nuances that really, really irk me about Brian Cashman.
Yeah, it's sometimes it's the margins, and I appreciate the call. I could see it on both ends. Look, what Brian Cashman has done, you know, year in and year out, and I understand the payroll, and I understand the history of success, and I understand you have Aaron Judge, and I understand all that stuff. But for the Yankees to be contenders year in and year out and win a lot of games and get to October pretty much every season, barring, you know, a catastrophic injury type of year, which they're having right now, but yet here they are well within a playoff. You know, if the season ended today, they'd be punching their ticket to go to October. I think that says a lot, and it's hard to do that. It is. What the Yankees have done under Brian Cashman is very hard to do. And he deserves credit for that. But on the flip side, and I think that's why you could take it sometimes too extreme with the Cashman support and maybe too far with the Cashman hate, much like many things in life, the truth lies somewhere in the middle. And then for me with Cashman, I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle. And not that we're going to play this game tonight, because we're not, but I'm just going to throw out my opinion. If you said Cashman or Boone, one of them has to go, which one should it be? I would say Boone. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Melissa joins us from Mineola here on After Hours. What's going on, Melissa?
Hey, guys. I love the show. I really like the little tribute to Steve Summers at the beginning. I used to love the schmooze. I talked a couple times with him, so I appreciated hearing that. I miss him a lot. One thing I want to say about the Yankees really is the bullpen. Mm-hmm. Like, just what's going on? What are we going to do? Like, it doesn't feel comfortable at all, ever.
Yeah, it's a major hold your breath, and I appreciate the call, Melissa. And it is. It's now, you can move starters into the bullpen, but I don't know about you. I just don't feel that comfortable with a Weathers or a Warren, even in those situations in a fifth or sixth or seventh inning. By the way, if you have to go to a reliever in the fifth or sixth or seventh inning and in the postseason, something went drastically wrong, because I would imagine or I would hope that Schlittler and Fried and Cole would give you the length. And perhaps that is the answer. Perhaps those three guys just putting this team, as far as a pitching staff goes, on their back in October and being the horses that all three of them could be and taking the ball and going seven innings, maybe even into the eighth inning, and allowing sort of that underbelly, that middle midsection of the Yankee bullpen, which is not good, to sort of bypass it and just get to your high leverage guys, and then your Hedrick, your Bednar, and then sort of slay to avoid Duvall, to avoid Bird. And that to me feels like the recipe, more than the trading for Mason Miller, which for me feels like pie in the sky. I just don't see it happening. I'm really more from the Padres' end. I talking about one of the best closers in baseball, if not the best closer in the baseball, with a ton of years of control. Probably not as important as the other two things, but I do think it's worth noting how much San Diego gave up for him. Plus, when you look at the standings right now, and things are changing obviously every single day, we're going to find out a lot in the next couple weeks who's out of it, who's in it. Now, the Padres are 2 under right now. They're 49-51. And obviously, in the American League, they'd be in first place somewhere. But in the National League, that's not going to cut it, especially in a division that the Dodgers coexist with you. So obviously, the division is out of it. Wild card, ton of teams in front of you. So in all likelihood, the Padres will wave the white flag here. But that does not mean that Mason Miller is going to be on the move. Because of the years of control, most importantly. You have the best closer in baseball at a ripe age with a lot of years left on his deal. Why on earth would you trade him? Unless you are just completely and utterly blown away with the trade package that you get. Which I'm not sure that the Yankees can put together that type of deal to get a Mason Miller if he's not available. Meaning everybody is, you know, there are people that are untouchable unless, you know, okay, this player's untouchable. All right, we'll give you Aaron Judge. Oh, yeah, you can have him. You know what I mean? Like, the obviously, and things, that's crazy talk, but you know what I'm saying. Nobody's truly untouchable because you can trade three superstars for one and it become fantasy baseball. But dealing in the world of realism and reality, I don't think the Yankees have what it takes necessarily to get him, but I also don't think Mason Miller is going anywhere. And look, if he does and the Yankees get him, that would be a major coup and that would be a major feather in the cap of Brian Cashman, and that would certainly fall into the category of a giant swing and a home run for this team. Because Mason Miller is, if anybody's lights out, if anybody's untouchable, it's him, as far as when he's on the mound. Let's go to Bob, and he's under contract for a lot of years. I mean, that's why, to me, if he becomes available and you acquire him, you're getting a unbelievable relief pitcher for many years to come. So it's a great contract, too. Let's head out to Bob. He joins us from Keyport. What's up, Robert?
How are you doing, Tommy? How are you?
Good. What's happening?
There's someone I was thinking about for the Yankees. Mm-hmm. He's someone who wants to come to the Yankees just so his career could be like someone he's compared to. What about LeBron James at catcher?
Yeah, you know what? I think you're onto something here because we've all been waiting for bated breath for LeBron. And everybody's trying to court LeBron. I think even the Pacers tried to court LeBron. He probably laughed in their face. But perhaps LeBron is just waiting for the Yankees and Brian Cashman to call him because he's going to try. Because you know what? I think in a lot of people's mind, nobody's ever going to say he's greater than Michael Jordan. But what if LeBron James was better, which isn't going to be that hard, to be better at baseball than Michael Jordan was? Wouldn't that sort of put him at the top now of that GOAT conversation?
Right, and I was actually thinking we could even, like, trade Jazz Chisholm into the NBA world. He has that mentality.
You would want to trade, you'd want to trade Jazz to the NBA, but you wouldn't have to necessarily trade him because you're not signing him.
No, just trading them in the realm.
In the realm. Meaning he'd be in the portal, sort of in, like, the basketball portal now, and if teams want to take him, maybe the Cavs think he would be great at an analytical player because they're analytical darlings. Maybe Jazz Chisholm analytically is going to be a great...
Right, his analytical Eurostep after...
Eurostep, right, yeah. Yeah, I know we're kind of tongue-in-cheek. Yeah, exactly. We're very tongue-in-cheek here with your phone calls, Bob. But if LeBron James seriously played baseball and tried to go the Jordan route and he was on the Yankees, the internet and the world and this radio station would literally crack in two pieces.
Yeah, but I have a serious point on the Yankees now.
Mm-hmm.
Why that confrontation between Caballero and Santana.
Yeah, Santana.
Yeah. My question is like this. If you see that play, do you think the Yankees would have challenged if that whole thing hadn't broken out? Maybe challenged that Caballero was safe?
Perhaps. Yeah, and when it comes to that, Bob, my stronger take on it is I thought Santana was being sensitive. I thought he overreacted. Look, Jose Caballero, I think part of why he does that, and he's been doing it for years, I think part of why he does it is to get under your skin, to annoy you, to play the mental warfare games, which is certainly within his rights, or any player's rights, and it's smart. If you can get under the skin of your opponents, if you can rattle opposing pitchers. Do it. Do it, especially if it doesn't. Now, I think there are some players that wouldn't be able to wait to the last second to engage and do what Caballero does at the plate. It might throw some of the hitters off because there might be other guys that do it, but Caballero certainly comes to top of my mind with it. And it feels like it's a thing, with whether it's with umpires or opposing pitchers. It's just every couple of weeks or so, this boils to the surface, and it boiled to the surface tonight. But, yeah, I thought Santana was being completely sensitive and completely overreacted, and now perhaps, now obviously won't be for Santana because he doesn't grab a bat. There's obviously a DH. Pitchers don't hit anymore. But there's a chance the Yankees send the Pirates a receipt and somebody gets plunked. I know it's not the old days anymore, but to defend Caballero so that other teams don't, you know, maybe go after him too, because Caballero's not going to stop doing this. Maybe you set that precedent, you set that tone, and you send that message that you're not going to mess with Caballero. This is what he does. He engages last second with the pitch clock, and you're not going to mess with our guy. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan. We'll get back to your calls on the Yankees. We'll also open up the conversation with the Mets. Something Carlos Beltran had to say today about the Mets managerial position was very, 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 very interesting. We'll get to the Mets when it comes to the trade deadline. Freddie Peralta, a report that came out last week from SNY, from Chelsea Janes, about the Mets being open for business. And then next hour, we'll get into all the Cam Scataboo stuff with the backflip from Fanatics Fest. So again, the number to call, 888-808-1019. It is Tommy Lugauer, After Hours. Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
You know, recommendations can be great. Maybe someone recommended this podcast, and here you are. But home projects are different. If a podcast isn't your thing, you lose a few minutes. If you hire your cousin's neighbor to mount your TV, you might end up with a lopsided screen and wall damage. Maybe I know a guy just isn't enough for your home. That's why Thumbtack works. It matches you with top-rated local pros with photos, reviews, and credentials all in one place. For your next home project, try Thumbtack. Hire the right pro today.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir. But yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
It is After Hours. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Hopefully everybody had a very pleasant new evening. I got you for another 90 minutes here on The Fan. A lot of Yankees in the first hour or so. We will mix the Mets into the conversation coming up this hour, including what Carlos Beltran had to say about the Mets managerial position. And then later on in the show, we will get into Cam Scataboo and the backflip that he attempted at Fanatics Fest, and just, you know, the overall reaction to, well, Cam being scammed. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Robbie in Phoenix. What's up, Robbie?
Morty, morty, morty.
What's up?
I'm doing great. My wife went to Toronto to go visit her sister and her father and mother for 2 whole months.
Wait, hold on a second. Wait a second here, Robbie. Let's just not gloss over that. You're trying to tell me that your wife is going to be with family for the next 2 months and you are essentially the king of the castle by yourself there with all the animals for 2 months?
Well, with my dogs.
Well, the dogs aren't going to tell, you know, listen, they're probably sworn to secrecy. As far as I'm concerned, Robbie, you got a hall pass here. You got 2 months to do whatever the heck you want. And they're in another country.
Yes. And Yoshi, my father-in-law.
Yes.
See, her sister's husband's smart because he does the same thing that I do. Now, Yoshi will stay there for 2 months, and he'll pay for all his goals.
Pay for the golf. Yeah. Pay that he's... Months. So what Robbie does and what his brother-in-law does is that... And their wonderful father-in-law, who's a great man, but to sort of get him out of your hair, you will pay for him to golf because he's an avid golfer. So that way, he's happy.
Yes.
Now the wife is happy. And then you, Robbie, and your brother-in-law with his wife can be happy as well.
Yes. So all he does is play golf and tell you how stupid Aaron Boone is. But he's 82 years old, so be it.
But let's be real, though. Young and old know that Aaron Boone is incompetent. And really, nobody knows him more than your family, Robbie, because you really are the first family of Aaron Boone detractors, because you were the first person to call this radio station, and now it took you 3 days, three games, but you were the first person, 3 games in Aaron Boone's career, to call WFAN and say Aaron Boone doesn't know what he's doing and needs to be fired.
Right. Saying he's incompetent is like saying water is wet.
Let me ask you a question here. Would you rather have water... or Aaron Boone managed the Yankees?
Oh, water.
Water, yeah. I figured as much. You figure water would be a calming force, would be sort of that, you know what I mean? Even when the waters got rough, they would know how to handle the calming waters, and they would be able to navigate the water, so to speak, better than Aaron Boone.
Absolutely. Also, I want the Yankees to go out and get good players. I want them to make this team Aaron Boone proof.
Now, how, Robbie, in your mind, how do they make it? Because you know you're a detractor of Aaron Boone. How do they go about the Yankees making it Aaron Boone proof? So what you're saying is you need such a superpower, such a team that is literally so great that there's nothing that Aaron Boone can do to ruin it.
Right, exactly. I would get Harise.
Yep.
I would get Skubal.
Skubal, mm-hmm. Yep, let me write this down.
I would get the catcher from Minnesota or even from Colorado.
So Jeffers or Goodman.
Make this team Aaron Boone proof. I don't want to see Volpe anymore. I'll put Cabby at shortstop.
Yep.
He got a clutch hit. So today. If I'm Cashman, I'm making this team Aaron Boone proof.
Let me ask you a question, Robbie. Would you rather have Wind or Aaron Boone managing the Yankees?
Oh, wind.
Wind, yeah. Figured as much.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, because I love college basketball, too.
Of course, yeah.
Here's what I do. I don't know if you know this. During March Madness, work productivity goes down.
Dramatically, especially those first couple days.
Right. So here's what I do as a manager. I tell the people at the pet salon, look, if your team is playing, call me. I will take your shift. Don't call me with phony illnesses.
Right.
I was getting that all the time, so I said, blanket. Here's what I'm going to do. If your team is in the final eight or final four, I will take your shift. You give me 48-hour notice, and I will take your shift. And it's worked because I've eliminated all the phony illnesses.
Yeah, it's better to just be honest in that spot. It's better to just say, hey, listen, the tournaments here, the first 2 days are amazing. Whether a team you like is playing or not, it's Americana to have a bracket, to sort of bet on these games, to be involved in the tournament. It's just an amazing, you know, display or just games. It's great sports. It's great theater. But you, as a manager, because this is why you're a great manager and Aaron Boone isn't a great manager, because Aaron Boone will probably, his players could be like, well, listen, my back hurts. Listen, I'll be back in 3 months. And he's none the wiser. At least you were smart enough to realize, hey, guys are giving me the, and gals are giving me the runaround. Just be straight up, tell me to my face, and I'll allow you to be off, because we all know where you're going, and that's on your couch to watch the tournament.
Right. And I've done that with the football playoffs, too.
Yeah, have to.
I've done that with football. I've done that with baseball. I will take your shift, but you cannot call me with phony illness.
Now, Robbie, you have 2 months here in the bachelor pad. Wife is in Toronto, and it's just you, the dog, and the pet grooming business. So what's on the docket
five
here?
Five dogs.
Five dogs that you... Yeah, that's right. You have five dogs. You have the pet grooming business. You're in Arizona, and you have, which is a great area. I mean, that's a just Phoenix is a Scottsdale area. That's a great area.
Scottsdale's beautiful.
It's on my bucket list. I want to go there. Now, Robbie, as you know, I like to party, and there's a lot of partying in Scottsdale. Should I go at some point?
Yes, to Scottsdale, yes.
Yes. So you have all these this time here. Are you now you could sit around because now you remember your wife tells you you can only complain about Aaron Boone for what, 20 minutes a day?
Right, so that's off the table.
Right, so now you could literally spend 24 hours a day if you want complaining about Aaron Boone.
Right, and here's the beauty, though. In the playoffs, if he loses it, my wife will give me an extra 10 minutes, playoffs.
Well, that sounds good.
In the playoffs, I'll get 30 minutes.
Really? What, and if he loses in the World Series, do you get an hour?
No, 30 minutes.
Oh, just 30 for the World Series. I got it. 20 for the regular games before, regular postseason games before the World Series, and then an extra 30 minutes if he does like he did last 2 years ago and he loses in the World Series.
Right. Yeah, I want your best guess here.
Mm-hmm.
Why do the Yankees still continue to keep him? Why? Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
People at the Yes Network must know that he's incompetent. They probably discuss it in the privacy of their own home.
Yeah, sort of behind his back, like it's high school, and they're saying he has cooties or something. Like they he walks by, like, "Hey, Aaron, you're amazing." And then when he's down the hall, they say, "This idiot, why do they keep him around? Who's brother-in-law?"
Right.
Is he? Yeah.
Why do you think they keep him around? This is the.
It's a million-dollar question. You know, it really is, Robbie, and if I had the actual answer, I would be a millionaire. My best guess is they are very comfortable with the way he handles the players, sort of that country club-type atmosphere. They are very comfortable with the way he handles the media. You know, it's right there in front of us and sort of going off the teleprompter. They love that. And, you know, he does win regular season games. He puts them in a position every year to win in October. I would imagine all three of those things. So I don't know if it's one thing necessarily, Robbie, as much as it's just a couple of things all together for the reason why the Yankees keep him.
Okay. Well, listen, you have a good night. So you agree with my system at work.
Yeah, I agree with all your systems, Robbie. I agree with the system of paying for your father-in-law to play golf. I should have that system with Rosenberg. I should just find a way to pay for him not to be here. I can match his salary. That's not hard. So I could just find a way, Robbie, to sort of pay for him not to be here. So I agree with that system. And I don't know what system that you came up with to get your wife out of the house for 2 months, but if you want to pass that along to me, you can. I mean, if you want to just email me that, and I'll just share that with every husband out there. 2 months in another country? You get to be in Phoenix, Scottsdale area. Now, granted, you have five dogs, but they'll keep their mouths shut. I don't think they're snitches. They're not rats. And all you got to do is bribe them. They're dogs. I mean, just bribe them with something. And you got 2 months in the pad with the missus in Toronto or Canada, wherever you said she was. 2 months. I could see 2 weeks, maybe even a month, maybe. 2 months in the summer, although it's really always the summer in Phoenix. It's probably one of the more or less desirable times to be in the Scottsdale, Phoenix area in the July and August months because it's probably 170 degrees there every single day. 888-808-10.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
019 is the phone number to call. As far as the Mets, and let me get to the stuff that came out last week. We'll hold off on the Beltran thing because I want to have a little bit of a longer runway for that. But as far as last week, the Chelsea James report that came out of SNY that the Mets are open for business, and you start to look at the players that are untouchable, and Francisco Lindor was not on that list. I have said this over and over again. If I'm the Mets, I'm not trading Francisco Lindor for two reasons. Let's start with the player himself. I'm going off of his body of work, not only with Cleveland, but more importantly with the Mets. I'm not going to be a prisoner of the moment. And I see a guy consistently year in and year out leading up to this season, puts up big numbers at a premier position and plays great defense and has shown great leadership skills. I would not trade him because of the player that he is. And on the other side of it is, you're not going to get the type of return for Francisco Lindor right now that you would when he's at the peak of his powers, because he's having the type of year he's having. And you're going to have to, if you're the Mets, eat a lot of his contract. So business-wise, it makes no sense. Personnel-wise, it doesn't make any sense. I just would not do it. And this is from Ken Rosenthal. The Mets don't seem motivated to trade Francisco Lindor before the deadline and will evaluate if he can coexist with Juan Soto. Okay, so that's a big thing here, the relationship that Lindor has with Juan Soto. I think they can coexist. I think chemistry is completely overblown when it comes to baseball. It's not like basketball where it's five guys on a court, continuity, chemistry, cohesiveness. Those are the three reasons, along with Jalen Brunson, why the Knicks won an NBA title. It's not the same in baseball. Juan Soto will stand out there in left field. Francisco Lindor will stand there at shortstop. Soto will basically look at Lindor's ass for 3 hours. I mean, what are they doing? They're not having a conversation. They're not passing the ball to each other. A fly ball's hit to Soto. He catches it. He throws it into Lindor. They don't have to have chemistry. They don't have to like each other. They don't have to coexist in order to accomplish that part of their baseball interaction on the field. Francisco Lindor and Juan Soto don't go to the plate together to both take the at-bat at the same time. And even if they have different interests, even if Francisco Lindor's more of a fashion guy and Juan Soto's more of a, I'm going to go play baseball in my spare time and go to the batting cage and he's just a machine and all he cares about is baseball, and Francisco Lindor perhaps likes other things outside of baseball in his free time, which, by the way, I have no problem with. I could see both ends of it. You know, when I'm outside the radio station and I'm not hosting, I like to do things that are non-sports talk radio related, where there are plenty of people that just want to be sports talk radio related, even when they're not here. I think both work. You could be successful, and both guys are successful baseball players, and you could be successful talk show hosts by having both mentalities. Both. And I recognize, you know, watching games is the get out of jail free card with the wife. Honey, I got to watch these games. Like one time my wife came up to me when I was watching the Red Zone channel, and she said, can you help me out with something next commercial? I said, sure, no problem. So watching sport, and even if it's, listen, I got to watch the Citadel play Alabama here at noon on Saturday, if you don't mind. And then, by the way, I'm going to watch 12 hours of football after that. I have to. It's my job. So it helps. Now, obviously, the magical elixir to that, or the equalizer to that, is kids. Because then you can't use that as an excuse. Then you're done. With me, with just the wife, she could go hit the bricks, do something. But when you have kids, you know, they can't drive themselves. They can't take themselves. Like, I was trying to hang out with a friend and a couple friends, and my one friend, she's like, oh, I got to drive my daughter somewhere. I'm like, tell her to, she can't hitch a ride. She can't hitchhike. She can't take the bus. She can't call an Uber? You got to drive her everywhere? Now, granted, she's like 3 or 4 years old, but still, it just changes your entire life. And then you can't use the sports stuff as much as an excuse. Obviously, the big games you can, but the games that don't really have an impact on your job, per se, then you're probably going to have to skip those games. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. But as far as the names that weren't on the list, you know, anybody not named Benj and Soto and Ewing and McClain and Scott, Freddie Peralta, expiring deal. I think even despite the plus or over 5 ERA, I think Freddie Peralta will get the Mets a nice return. I think teams will be lining up to trade for him. He's got a long track record, multiple-time All-Star, led the National League in wins last year. Maybe some people look at it as, hey, this is a guy that, I don't know, can't handle New York or the pressures of a contract or whatever the case may be. It was too much for him, so we're going to take a chance on him trying to get the Freddie Peralta of the Brewers and not the Freddie Peralta we've seen over the first couple months. Plus, starting pitchers, as far as the market, at least if last year is any indication, there's probably not going to be a lot of guys available at the deadline. Skubal being his own entity, that's going to require a lot to get him. A lot. Even if he's, or if he's even available, because the Tigers may deem themselves in it in a very bad division. Luke Weaver, I've gone back and forth on. I'm going to be happy either way. But as far as my opinion on it, right now, and this can change, but at 12:48 on July 21st, Tuesday morning, I would not trade him. That's just my, I could change my mind in 3 minutes from now because I've gone back and forth on it 20 times because on one hand, you're going to get a lot back for Luke Weaver. You can't trust year in and year out that relievers are going to be great. There's only a few guys that you can, the upper echelon elite players, pitchers-wise, relief pitchers. But the guys that 1 year can be bad, 1 year can be great, and we've seen that with Luke Weaver throughout his career. Sometimes he's been unbelievable, untouchable, unhittable, and then other times he's been not so good. The Mets have gotten the great version of Luke Weaver, and perhaps you cash in now on that. The flip side is you need relievers. You're probably going to trade Minter and Raley and perhaps even a Brazoban. You're going to need somebody in the bullpen next year. And Luke Weaver is on a very good deal. He's got one more year after this, making $11 million, so it's a very affordable contract. He can clearly handle the market. He's pitched well with the Yankees and now the Mets. So I think there are two sides to the coin, and both sides, I think, are strong arguments to keep Weaver. So I've kind of gone back and forth in this. Some days I wake up and said, hey, for the sake of this conversation, if the Mets end up being sellers here, they trade off a bunch of players, they're open for business, so to speak, I would deal Luke Weaver. And then there's other days where I'm like, even within the same day, I'm like, maybe they should keep him. And that's why, as a fan, just taking the Sports Talk Radio host hat off, if the Mets keep Luke Weaver, I'm good. If they trade him, I'm good. 888, good with it. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Dave joins us from Chicago. What's going on, Dave? Dave, can you hear me? Yeah, you're good, bro. What's up?
Hey, Tommy. Love the show.
Thank you.
By the Knicks playoffs, you literally carried me, bro. It's actually crazy.
My pleasure.
I got a few points. One is I think Brian Cashman does not know how to run a baseball team, meaning he gives a winning team every single year. So for the Mets, that would be amazing. But the Yankees have to pull a Knicks where they're like, you got us to your point, and we're firing you. They have to pull a Mike Brown, Tom Thibodeau. They must fire Aaron Boone. They must fire Cashman. That's what I think to get them to the next level.
Yeah, they're just never doing either one of those things. Certainly not Cashman. I think Cashman ultimately will step down and take on an advisor role. Aaron Boone, I don't think they're ever going to fire him. They just might not, you know, pick up his contract or give him an extension. Once his contract, current one, is up, they might just move on.
And the second thing is, for the Mets, they have to sell, but like, what ideally should be the dire position they should target, obviously. I don't know how they would get this, but a good starting pitcher for next year on their next contract, because ideally that's been their biggest issue. Like, what should they try to target?
Well, I think they're going to target a lot of, and I appreciate the call, a lot of prospects. And I think they're going to look really, besides outfield, at a lot of different positions. As far as the rotation, McClain, I think we all feel very good about. I, for one, would extend Clay Holmes. Christian Scott, I think we all feel really good about. Zach Thornton, it's been too small of a sample size, but we're going to see more of him in the second half. And certainly his last start before the break was excellent. I would go all in on Skubal. And I don't subscribe to the, well, David Stearns this, David Stearns that. First of all, I think the Mets are going to hire a general manager in the offseason. I think David Stearns will keep his role as president of baseball operations, but I think the Mets are going to hire a general manager, and perhaps that general manager, because I think that GM would work with David Stearns, not underneath him. I think that general manager may feel differently about the philosophy of giving pitchers long-term contracts. And we're not just talking about a pitcher, we're talking about top of the line, perhaps the best starting pitcher in all of baseball in Tarik Skubal. So it's a different entity. And the Mets were willing to go sort of the distance with Yamamoto as far as years, as far as money. He opted to go to the Dodgers. And as far as Soto, the Mets were willing to give him a lot of years and a lot of money. And even if it was Steve Cohen that was instrumental in both of those things, meaning he was the one that pushed for it, you're telling me Steve Cohen wouldn't push for Skubal for the years and money that he wants? So even if David Stearns is unwilling to bend, even if the general manager sort of agrees with Stearns, I think that's where Steve Cohen could step in and say, we need a top-of-the-line guy like Skubal, a game changer, and if he wants a million years with for a ton of money, we're going to do that because guys like that don't come around very often, and we need to really a shot in the arm in this offseason as far as free agency, and also we need to add a big-time starting pitcher. And Skubal would certainly fit both of those categories. And he's right there at the top of my wish list. Number one, or 1A, or 1B, whatever, is Alex Cora, to hire him as the manager. And the other is signing Skubal. I think if you use those as the pillars of your offseason, the Mets would be off to a very good start if they could get both of those guys to sign on the dotted line. But yeah, as far as the trading off players, if they truly are open for business here and they're sellers in a couple of weeks, I think you just want to get the best return possible. I don't know if you're necessarily going to identify a certain position per se prospect-wise. You're just going to identify top prospects to continue to build that farm system. Because having the great farm system means your future is bright and you could use those prospects as trade chips. So they serve multiple purposes. We're all excited by homegrown players. We're all excited about young players. We're all excited about Ewing. We're all excited about Benj. To get more Ewings and Benjes in this system to either make it to the major league level and be productive for years to come or to use those players for trade chips down the line to acquire players. That's why you do what you do now. And if you don't like the moves of Peralta and you don't like the moves of Weaver or you don't like the offseason, if David Stearns can really cash in a big-time way over the next couple weeks with those players, I know it's not what you want. You want to win the championship. You know, it's not the intention. But if you can get a lot back for those guys, I think it made it all worth it. Even if you didn't get the results you were looking for from Peralta, if you can get a lot back for him, it made acquiring him worth it. Same thing with the Weaver, who's been great. I think that would be the ultimate one because Weaver has not only been great, but if you get a lot back for him, it's sort of the double where he pitched well and you got a big return for him. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is Lugie in the Late Night. We're coming up on the final hour here. We'll continue your calls on the Yankees, on the Mets, the trade deadline. We'll let you know what Carlos Beltran had to say today about the Mets' managerial position. We will discuss the Cam Scataboo backflip at Fanatics Fest, which he did not stick the landing on. So there'll be some giant football talk in the final hour here. I got you till 2 a.m. Zach Gelb comes your way at that time. If you want to call me up and talk to me on the show, the phone number is 888-808-1019. It's Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney Refreshing!
Odyssey celebrates back to school season. Brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best mobile network according to Ookla Speed Test. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speed Test Intelligence data 1H 2026.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame, how will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.